Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Groman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Groman.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Elaine Groman, and welcome to Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. The hope that I have of initiating Going Beyond Medicine is to begin to bring to the airways wonderful, extraordinary people that are looking beyond simply pharmacological agents, the quick fix, but how do we begin to go beyond medicine to bring changes to our world that will be life-sustaining, helpful, educational, and bring joy to our life. And that's why I wanted to invite my friend, Marna McKinney, who lives in Nashville, Tennessee, who is literally an earth mother. That's what I would call her. She's an earth mother. She's just this wonderful, knowledgeable, walking encyclopedia of how do you work with the living earth? How do you bring to an understanding of food and herbs and different ways to help to maintain and build your health? And I'm very grateful to have my friend Marna McKinney on the show today. Welcome, Marna.
Hi, Elaine.
How are you, darling, down there in Nashville?
I'm great. Thank
Good.
You.
Good.
Voice and be with you.
Thank you. So I want to just begin to talk to people about what you do literally on the beautiful land that you have and how it is that you work with Mother Earth. And what you've learned working with Mother Earth. Well, actually, before I go into that, let's talk about your history of living on a farm and really understanding the need to be in connection with the living earth.
Well, as a woman and a mother and a grandmother, and my experiences over the years as a body worker, an energy healer, and an herbalist and a gardener, all evolved, I feel like, throughout my life, learning with the land and many highly respected teachers and healers over the years. The inspiration in particular that I feel I have learned is from extensive studies of indigenous people. And their relationship and their approach to the natural world and the garden. And it just taken some years and some time to learn how to be in relationship and communication with this wisdom that's all around us and in us, and certainly I want to say working in the garden, but, you know, what I've learned in our Western world, that the phrase of working, in the garden, it's a phrase I used for many years, and that's just what I knew. It was a great kindness to me to learn how to approach the garden in a way that I could be in a building a more balanced relationship with the garden,
right?
From a physical and of course, but a more emotional and mental and spiritual way, and this is part of what I've studied over the years. So, go ahead.
The thing that I loved about being with you and watching you in your garden is that you know that this is not, so many people, as you just said, Marna, is that people think of gardening as a task and something to do, work to do, but gardening is actually a relationship with a living being.
Yes.
That brings about life when we understand that as not just, we're not going to the grocery store. We're going to the place where this life begins.
Yes. And, I feel fortunate to come from a long line of gardeners and farmers. That has been really helpful in that way. But the connection with it as work, I just expand it on. You know, all gardeners know the great challenges of, you know, the physical laws of nature and the challenges of the seasons and the weather, you know, as the garden. That's a huge part of the way we think of it. Establishing the garden as a place of study in terms of, you know, the different herbs and the plants and understanding, you know, what's needed there. That kind of pulled in more of the mental aspects. I will say, you know, from really being encouraged to deepen in my study is, you know, to really bring, you know, my heart and my emotions and my spirit. You know, when I really discovered that the sense of joy that I have in the garden is all part of that, and incorporating that into day-to-day of the gardening world, you know. I think it happens naturally, of course. You know, we go to the garden and we enjoy our time, but just really making that little shift to just say, this joy is a part of the journey with the garden that brings a balance to all these aspects of ourselves, the physical and the mental and the emotional and the spiritual.
Just yes.
That's so important.
And just like it's so essential, Myrna, to have a beautiful foundation of healthy soil. There's so many corollaries. There's so many mirrors within ourselves that we need healthy foundations in order to have something grow within ourselves. So we're literally seeing in a physical form, in a active, moving, growing form, a metaphor for ourselves, don't we?
Absolutely. In healing, you know, you really, you know, we think of our insides as the soil for all the good things that we need to have in order to digest and assimilate and bring balance inside of us, you know. And that approach that you're talking about here with the soil, you know, just approaching the garden as a living presence, you know. It's not just the place to go get your free veggies, you know, and admire the scenery and the beautiful flowers, you know. It's the same thing when we look in the mirror, you know. We want to see our beauty inside and out, you know, and take care of that, you know. Just so much more to the benefits of as we take care of ourselves, as we take care of our soil and how we are from a focus of nutrition and valuing that. It's a study, and you want to bring all aspects of yourself to that.
Right.
And, you know, being in the garden, you know, as a place of meditation is another part of that shifting, you
yes,
know?
Yes. Again, my guest is Myrna McKinney. She is from Nashville, Tennessee. And I really want people to begin to learn and appreciate the extraordinary depth of knowledge that is present within a garden. And Myrna has studied this for so many years and is literally, in my mind, a walking encyclopedia. And she's very humble and would never say that about herself. But I think that we really need to have people such as yourself, Myrna, who are these elders that have not only age, but years of wisdom of working in the garden, seeing what different herbs do. And I really want to talk to you about that, because as we see ourselves in this very dominant pharmacological age and the unbelievable challenges that those can present to the human body, how are you finding and what have you learned, Myrna, about the medicinal qualities and the medicinal properties of, number one, being in the garden, and then what the garden provides for us?
I definitely want to touch on that.
Please.
You know, food is herbs. Herbs are food. And this feeding of ourselves and taking this for that, you know, it's much more involved. You know, I've been studying this for years. I have a great library and all kinds of certification, but, you know, it really wasn't until I expanded into this, the whole balance, you know, the four directions of our humanness, that I really feel like that's when the garden starts talking to you.
So would you explain, for those who are not familiar with that term, the four directions of our humanness, what do you mean by that, please?
Well, this is the physical and the mental and the emotional and the spiritual of who we are. And it's easy to go into any one of those directions, you know, in this way we're multidimensional. We're not just one way, which is one of the pitfalls of just being mental all the time. Every, you know, it's like I'm going to think about doing this, I'm going to think about feeding myself, you can get too much in one direction, and
yes,
it's important when to recognize when you're there, to recognize when all the things that you do from just thinking about it, or perhaps in a day, everything just feels emotional. So, you know, and there's emotional eating, you know, and you're reaching for something and thinking, oh, this is really not what I needed. It just feels good in the moment.
And then, and the opposite of emotional eating is, you know, too much or not enough. So it really helps to teach us what do we actually need.
Yes. It's something that, you know, it's a language we need to develop in our internal conversation as well, you know, that it's like I'm thinking about this too much. I need to just go outside and get a just be in how it feels to be outside, you know, looking at the sky, standing on the earth, being in the world. If you can, you know, that's not always the easiest thing to do. Sometimes they're so involved it takes a real bump to make us pay attention, like we don't feel good. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, my stomach, you know, what can I take for a tea to make my tummy feel better? You know, this is a language, and I think we need to give ourselves a deeper sense of how sophisticated that language is.
Yes, and you mentioned earlier, again, my guest is Marna McKinney, and she is a woman who works very intimately with the earth as a gardener, as an herbalist, as someone who has studied this beautiful translation that we have with one another from a substance in that can become a cell in our body, this metamorphosis that we really need to look at it in a very different and profound way. And you mentioned, Marna, that you have had the opportunity to work with indigenous peoples and their innate and deep understanding of the living world. And certainly they were people that did not just go to a grocery store. There wasn't such a thing. How and what have you learned from those beautiful cultures, and what needs to come back to our awareness now?
You know, I think the most exciting moment for me, and I knew this about planting and the magic of what the garden teaches about birth and life and death and renewal, you know, to let a tomato, to leave it on the ground and just let it where it is dissolve and, you know, literally compost into the soil, and then to come back the next year and see the tomato plant, the baby tomato there, was just like one of those turn-on moments for me. And to find, you know, the cucumbers returning and all different kinds of plants that I just amazed that they managed to winter through the season. And I don't know, you know, what I was thinking before that. It was like all the plants had to come from the seed companies and,
right,
you know, go to the store where I get my plants, and that's how I planted my garden. And all of a sudden, you know, the garden was full of all the plants that I'd had.
And I love how they refer to them and gardeners. And I, as you know, I'm a gardener too, but not to any degree that you are, but to call them volunteers. Isn't that a perfect name? These little volunteers that said, here I am. I'll be here for you next season. eat me.
Yeah. To deepen that even more, like teacher, because,
yes,
you know, where they appear, I've had plants move, even, you know, especially some flowers, they'll move to whole other parts of the garden. I'll be like, hey, this is where you decided to come up this year. This is amazing. And some of these plants in my time with them have returned, you know, 10 years in their cycle, you know, over 10 years. Just, wow, we're still here together. And there's, you know, times where I think, oh my gosh, is this plant going to come back? I don't know. And I will be looking at the soil and just thinking about it. And all of a sudden, this beautiful scent wafts up, you know, and I realize, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about this plant. I was just wondering, will it return? And earth just like releases something there, and I smell it. And even though I can't see it, I know in a couple days I'm going to come back and it's going to be there.
Mm. And it's so beautiful for you to acknowledge and be aware that there is this communication happening. That,
yes.
And as it's happening, it's opening all of the human senses. And so, Marna, do you teach other people how to have this kind of interaction and relationship with the living earth?
You know, I think that we each develop this in our own unique way. Just like as we heal in our own unique way. And a lot of times, you know, I've been amazed that people would really know when something's not quite right, but they're not getting the information through the channels and approach they've taken. And I say, just keep on. Keep on. And your body is telling you something, and just stay with it until you find the right person that connects you to what you get a sense of. And this is about healing. But I feel the same way about the garden and learning with the garden. And, you know, that's, you know, you can have all the great books, you know, in the world, but it really comes from experience. I guess the encouragement is what I feel like I can bring to somebody's learning.
I think that's what I'm asking of you. I hope that you, the degree of knowledge that you have, you know, if the challenge that people have is they don't know what they don't know. So
Right. They
don't know where to even begin. Sometimes they don't have the time or they don't have the energy. And the great library of knowledge that you hold within your being, because you have had this experience with the living earth, and you can help people understand this experience that they too have with the living earth, whether they know it or not. I hope that you will consider bringing that forward to people, because I'm sure that with your children and your grandchildren, whether you know it or not, you have been teaching them.
Yes. And you know, neighbors, you know, when I moved here, you know, I found myself in a situation where I thought, wow, I never thought I would just be living in a city. You know, I thought I would always be living out in the country, raising my own food, doing the back to the earth kind of lifestyle. But once I got here, you know, planting was the first thing I did. And people around me had their garden, you know, their flowers and stuff. But, you know, I just put this big old garden in my side yard, in a very well manicured, very lawn focused neighborhood. And, over time, gardens started to emerge. I think people just, you know, would see the garden and say, well, hey, you know, I'm going to give that a try. And, gosh, now we have, all kinds of gardeners and beekeepers, you know, but coming back to your question there, it can start with just some radish seeds sprouting in a jar, you know. There's all kinds of great information about growing your own sprouts. If you have no land to work with, you know, seeds, when you hold the seeds, you know, and you're very complimentary about, you know, my own personal library, but when you hold a seed, you are holding an ancient, knowledgeable, wise being that is a library in and of itself.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and my very first meditation as a young teenager was to plant a carrot. You know, this is how you learn to meditate. You plant a carrot and you watch it grow. And even though I was raised with a garden, I think it was the first time that I opened my eyes to, oh, it's a meditation. You know, I had kind of been operating on separate systems there, like meditation is this path, you know, growing a garden, oh, that's something my parents and my ancestors always did, so growing a garden is just where you get your food. Somewhere in there, I brought that into a much fuller, deeper, richer circle. Mm. And you can do that in the simplest ways, you know, that little cup with a little tiny pinhole or two in the bottom of a paper cup with the dirt and the soil and planting the seeds. And I love when I hear about, you know, moms that are taking their time with their kids to do that.
Well, I would love to put you in contact with my daughter, who's a homeschooler in Louisiana, and she just started this gardening group for the homeschooling kids. And it's really, you know, someone like yourself who would come and be able to give such a body of knowledge that you know to somebody who's trying to help their children and little children learn, how do you get back to nature? How do it's so much more, as you say, Marna, that's so much more involved. It's, you're bringing people back in the garden just by the simple process of being back in the garden, back to the simplistic complexity of life.
Yes, and I love to hear from people that are doing this and are wondering, you know, how to begin or what's the best direction. And I love to hear the experience and the great, incredible stories.
And in that vein, how might someone get in touch with you if they were interested to contact you to get some information about the breadth of knowledge that you have?
You know, I have a website that's marnamckinney.com, and I'm always happy to get emails through Hotmail, and it's just Marna McKinney at Hotmail.
And it's MCKINNEY, right? Marna McKinney.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And, you know, to just take it a little deeper, you know, when we approach so excitedly the soil, it's, wow, what an amazing thing you're holding in your hands. It's Earth. Mm-hmm. And we are a planet. And the components, you know, under, when you take it right down to the little atoms that make the dirt and how this evolved over millions of years, you know, something like garlic, they don't really know where the first origins of garlic came from. Mm. You know, and that's millions and millions of years, you know.
Yes.
And what an incredible healer the garlic is. And, you know, I jokingly say, hey, if you've got to leave your premise in an your premises in an emergency, grab the garlic and go. Because with that, you know, you've got this great healer.
Right. Marna, we're going to be taking a break here in just a minute. But when we come back from the break, I would love to talk with you about what you've learned about herbs and different foods and how they're helpful to the human body in different capacities. Again, my name is Elaine Grohman. This is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And my guest today is Marna McKinney, a wonderful woman that is a dear friend who lives in Nashville, Tennessee. And she is very knowledgeable about working with Mother Earth with respect, with joy, and with wonder. We'll be right back.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. I win. Whoa! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Science Today. And we already have our next caller. Welcome. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hello, Philip. You sound really young.
Not really. I'm 9.
Oh, wow. You're still in elementary school, right?
Does that matter?
Oh, no, not at all. What's your question?
Well, I know the molecular formula for water is H2O. I also know that hydrocarbon is CH3CH250CH3. Glucose is C6H12O6. The general formula for an alkene is CnH2n+2. But what I can't seem to find is any scientific formula for Bob.
Bob?
My goldfish.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Now back to Elaine Grohman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman, and we're back on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And we're continuing our discussion with my dear friend, Marna McKinney, who lives in Nashville, Tennessee. Marna is a woman who has been so intimately working with the earth over the past number of years and has studied herbs and not only the importance of the integrity of the land and how we communicate with this land, but there's just this whole body of knowledge that is so available and so necessary for us to understand how to regain and maintain our health of our body, mind, spirit, and emotions. So welcome back to the show, Marna.
Hi. Thanks.
Thank you. So can we talk a little bit about what you've learned about different plants, herbs, medicinal plants, particular foods that grow in the garden that you have, and how you use them to help support the life of yourself, your family, and others?
I got to think about this.
Well, let's just talk about herbs right now.
Sure. You know, I mentioned before that herbs are food.
Right.
And food is herbs. And I think we have to go back a few decades to, you know, the cabbage that your grandma grew, or, you know, local town farmer grew for market, had nutrients and power to it that now, 30 years later, they've just shown through studies the difference in the quality of what is contained in our food. And I think that's just an important thing to remember. And this is where I feel like taking some often overlooked or not valued plants that can help enhance what we are already eating can be really helpful. So,
such as what kind of plants?
Well, you know, one of my favorite is nettles, and I know a lot of people go, "Ooh, that's the thing that bites you if you touch it."
Yeah, stinging nettles, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, they grow wild. You can actually, you know, find sources for them that are natural, where they're already dried. And you know, sometimes they say those really prickly plants are very shy, you know, and that's some of the aspects of their prickliness. They're like, "Oh, don't come near me," you know. However, if you put the gloves on and you clip it in the spring, you don't want to, you know, clip nettles anytime after it's, you know, grown and seeded. That's like contraindicated or a more risk. But if you get those early in the spring, you have a powerful nutritive plant that you can just add to your soups, or you know, you let it dry and you can drink that as a tea. And if you combine it with something like mints that have the rich oils in them, that can be also tremendously beneficial. You're getting your magnesium and your calcium and, you know, these important minerals that give you a good, healthy foundation.
Now, what part of the plant might you use in a nettle? Do you use the stinging, the leaf? Do you use the leaves, the stem? What part?
Yes, the leaf. And, you know, you just clip it back a little bit and it will grow another growth. Maybe you'll get two cuttings off of that, you know. It is slightly drying. That's why when you combine it with, now I'm getting into a little more involved thing there with, a little touch of licorice root, and you've got a really fantastic nutritive tea to drink. And different times in our life where we are going through growth spurts or, you know, chemistry changes as women do, these are just important and very, very helpful teas to make, just sitting down and having a nice cup of tea or making a sun tea from that. Back to just enhancing the food that we have, you know, and I'll stay on that nettle track. It goes all the way back centuries, and I was amazed at how much was made from this one plant. And then it was brought to my attention that for the peasants in the, you know, 17th century and 18th century, in nettles sometimes was all they had to stay alive.
So, really?
Yeah, and you know, it's something that we take for granted. We might even totally ignore it. But when I look at that plant now, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. I'm sure that I have family and ancestors who had to get through a difficult, you know, season and you are what they had. And I'll also want to add that, you know, taking a few nibbles of the sprouts of the garden from the edible, you know, peas and little tops of snippets of, you know, onions and the little babies that we sprout, those have about 30 times more nutrition in them than the actual, you know, fruiting and vegetables.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. The springtime, going out and, you know, I love my little new dandelion greens when they pop up in the spring. And it doesn't take much, just a few pinches of those dandelion greens, and that gets chopped up and put in my eggs. You know, it's an adventure. We go out and we go, oh, how many little tiny green things can we find that we can eat and put into our breakfast, you know, and knowing, and you can feel it, you know, when you get those little sprouts. That's why, you know, something like sprouting in your apartment or wherever you are is so wonderful, because those little pinches of those first leaves are power packed. And the spring is when you want to really take those in.
Well, that's interesting, because as you're saying that, we think of so many plants as nuisance plants, like a dandelion, a plant that we for some reason have named a weed. And it doesn't call itself a weed. It's just a plant. So how do you know, and I'm sure just through your experience and your education, that there's certainly plants that we want to ingest or use topically or whatever, but there's others we want to avoid. So how do you learn to differentiate that? And how, in, as you said, that you've worked with indigenous people, how did they know that?
Well, I think when you live in connection to the earth and the land, and that, of course, you know, it's only been in the last, you know, 100 years or so that we went from being, you know, 80% living, you know, off the land, you know, to farming, and then that statistic changed over time, and you know, now it's 80% of us live in the city, and we just expect all that food to come in. We know we expect it to be there. So that transition is one to also really note and appreciate. I don't think we can really at this point, yes, we know when there's a plant that we don't want to be there and we want to, you know, take it out, and I suggest you get the hoe or you get down and you get into pulling out the plant. It's not a good thing to use weed killers with the idea that a weed isn't a food or doesn't have a value. You know, it took a while for me to figure out that by letting some of the weeds come up around my plants, that the bugs would actually eat the weeds, not the plant.
I guess we also don't know what nutritional value is being supplied to the plant we actually want to eat by the quote-unquote weeds.
Yeah, and, you know, that's where you're going to have to do a little study for where you are. You know, sometimes, you know, I've had a few plants come up and wondered, you know, figured out what it was, you know, the County Extension agent usually has great things on the web, you know, or get somebody that can help you identify and always, always confirm and identify, especially if you have any doubt about it. And, you know, I found this is a weed that the horses love. It came through the manure that I let, you know, be aging in my garden, but it really isn't of any particular benefit to me. This is the little buttercup that just cute little flower, but oh, it just went everywhere, you know, and I found myself having to pull it out and didn't really find it being particularly useful, but, you know, it composts well, and I, you know, just have to take each value of what you see there in front of you and make an observation, you know, can I leave this, or do I want to make sure this weed doesn't go to seed? And sometimes it's holding the soil I need, and I, you know, I have to chuckle about leaving the weeds up around my tomatoes because it keeps the critters away. You know, otherwise, if I weed and make it really easy to access the tomatoes, those squirrels and chipmunks are going to come right in there and go, thank you. I didn't want to go through those weeds, you know.
Interesting.
It took a little while of just this observation and paying attention to go, oh, these are my friends right now, you know. So it's important to teach the children that as well.
There's, exactly.
You know, in certain ways, sometimes there's the plant that doesn't need to be where it is, but it can have some use somewhere, you know.
Right. I'm looking at your website right now, and I'm very touched by this beautiful phrase from Rumi that says, there are 1,000 ways to kneel and kiss the earth. How beautiful. As we really literally recognize so profoundly that without this earth and what she provides, we would not even be here. It would be impossible.
Yes, of course. And, you know, I was reading an interesting statistic about our children. In the 1920s, when my father and mother were born, the roaming area for like an 8-year-old was about 6 miles. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what my parents did. They would go from one farm to another, and you know, it would be a few miles of a walk. You know, and then you fast forward to where we are now; it's about 700 yards.
Oh my gosh!
The area of a kid, you know, and the idea that there can be an extinction of the, you know, personally knowing your physicality and your mind and your emotions, experiencing life, you know, not through the Discovery Channel. You know, it's a great channel, but you've got to get out there
right.
And experience this. And, you know, even if you move through an exercise of saying, okay, here is where I am, and I respect this 700 yards because for some kids, just to step out on the porch and sit on the porch is dangerous.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
There are risks there. And how is it that we have come to that? You know, and, you know, it's a challenge, and
yes.
it's part of our imbalance. And
as you say that, the thought is, you know, we also have children who are experiencing the extinction of play because they don't play physically. They don't play, and they don't put down toys that are held in their hand. That's not really a toy. It's a hypnotizing instrument.
Yeah. You know, I sit with water with my granddaughter who's 18 months, and she'll stay involved with that water for, you know, for a little one to stay involved for 20 minutes. That's a long time, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, letting her just move a rock from one place to another, you know. She gets kind of rascally, and I know she just wants to be outside and to really stop and take the time and get them out of the energy of the TV and the computers and the internet and the texting. These are all things that you and I did not grow up with.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. Again, my guest is Marna McKinney, and she is a woman who works with Mother Earth intimately as a gardener, as an herbalist, and is someone who has really spent years of her life really studying the impact of how we work with the earth and what it does for us, not just physically in terms of ingesting food as nourishment, but what it does for us body, mind, spirit, and emotions, which are so essential for us to understand. And so I thank you for what you're doing, Marna. Are you doing any writing? Are you doing any teaching of any kind? I hope you do.
Yeah, I am. I am working on that writing thing. And yes, we have our group gatherings with moms. We, you know, we're getting ready to make our fire cider vinegar for, you know, setting that up for, this is like your first line of defense for battling the sneezy, runny nose, coughing, you know, season coming up here in a few months. And, you know, these are some of the fun things that people can do. I'm happy to provide the recipe and the how-tos, and it is available.
Is it available on your website, Marna, at all, or will you have those things available on your website?
Yes, I definitely can do that.
And, that would be great.
I think as I gather, you know, it's always the appreciation of how easy it is that we run to the store to make a purchase of our pain relievers. And I hope the takeaway here is that when you think of pain relief, you say a thank you to plants because they are the first healers and they are the source of where our medicines come from. And we know this, you know, it's when you're standing outside and you're looking at a tree. I mean, you don't look at an oak tree and think that, hey, I could take the leaves and a little of the bark and make a tea with that, you know, but it's done, you know, or the bright little tips of the spruce tree are just loaded with vitamin C, you know, and you can make a nice little tea with that. We really need to engage in what's in your yard, you know, what's directly around you or your favorite place to go.
Well, personally, I can't wait to hold your book in my hand. Read it. Learn it. Because I think that, you know, there's, you know, I can only see in my own family how many challenges people have had with pharmaceutical agents and what it does to the body, because it can overload the body with such toxicity. And when we have a natural substance that can be grown and is out in nature, that our body has a way of using that substance and then releasing whatever is no longer needed rather than building this toxic buildup because the body doesn't know how to get rid of it in a healthy way.
You know, I was reading about an octogenarian, and she was remembering the Franklin Roosevelt at the time, who said, you know, everybody should have an elderberry tree in their yard or an elderberry bush in their yard. And I thought, wow, you know, this was a time when the flus, you know, took out, you know, millions of people.
Right.
You know? And the elderberry is such a great, mild, gentle flu preventer. You know, you don't eat the berries, you know, you got to cook them down and make the syrup from that. But a little spoonful of that and a little water for a little kid with a runny nose can just shift the tide, you know, from something getting a little more deep and infectious to, hey, I feel great and it clears it up. You know, it's pretty amazing.
You know, it's amazing. We get this magazine that comes from, my husband goes to Lifetime Fitness, which is a big organization, gym kind of thing. And they send out these books, and they just, yesterday I read, you know, the importance of just using something as simple as honey. If you have a scratch, you put the honey on the scratch, on the open wound, which they knew back in the Civil War times and certainly way, way, way before that. So there's so many things that are benign in terms of toxicity to us, but have enormous benefit.
Yes, which, you know, takes us to the food is your best medicine.
Yes.
And, you know, looking at all of the different ways, you know, I've had the similar experience with honey and with horrific skin conditions, and just suggesting something like a little honey, not beeswax, but, you know, honey. And had amazing, you know, cure from that.
Mm. So as you're working with all of this, imagine you're giving counsel to someone who is a complete novice at this, and they want to, they buy a home or they have a plot of land. What would you guide them as the first things that they need to do, Marna, to begin to condition the soil, to amend the soil, to help to make it a healthy place for plants to begin?
You know, I think it starts with appreciation. Mm-hmm. I think it starts with stepping out onto Mother Earth and saying, you know, thank you for this day, for the sun, for the rain, for all of these elements in this amazing world that I am in, and really looking at what's around. You know, we really want to start with our appreciation, and we want to start with our honesty. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and I'm looking to you for guidance, you know, first and foremost. You know, you can have all of the most amazing spiritual books in your library and in your understanding, but there is nothing greater than Mother Earth as a teacher.
Yes.
And the healer.
And what people don't realize, and I know that you and I have been consciously trying to be aware, to open our senses up enough. And when you do have that real deep personal communication with a living being other than a human, that is a plant, that what we refer to as a plant, it shakes you to your core.
Yes. You know, and honestly, you know, plants and trees, you know, here's the amazing thing. We can get on our phones and we can talk to China. We can talk to Italy. We can Skype anywhere in the world, right?
Right.
And this technology has just been around really not that long. You know, our plants, I mean, there's some plants that have been here 350 million years, you know, have evolved, and we are seeing the ancestors of this evolution. These plants and trees have been around a few hundred million years, and I'm learning that they know a thing or two.
Yeah, they sure do.
You know, and as the first healers, you know, and as the first pharmacy that we have, you know, this is a really important thing to remember. And, you know, if you've got a challenge and you don't have anybody to talk to, you can go to your favorite plant, be it a little rose bush or a tree, and you can just talk. And that tree is literally reading your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
As your breath and the breath of that tree are in a symbiotic relationship, and you will find amazing things.
It's so true. I have house plants in my house that are gigantic, and people say, "What do you do?" I say, I talk to them. I sit with them. They're not decoration.
Yeah.
Although they are very beautiful and they decorate my space, you know. So, yeah. Marna, I want to just encourage people to be in touch with you via your website, which is www.marnamckinney, which is MarnaMckinney.com. And she has a contact page where you could, you know, put in your biographical information, your name, your email address, excuse me, and leave a question or a comment that Marna can then respond. And I think that would be a beautiful way to bring a whole library of information to people, that you are such, you have so much information that you have accumulated and you've become aware of in your vast experiences with working with the living earth. We need that wisdom. We need the elder that you are to be willing as a grandmother, as a mother, as a woman, to share this information, which is vital for humanity, to help us to get back to the beautiful simplicity of life so that we can remember actually who we even are.
You know, I love what you said, and thank you so much. And I feel this communication that we have as mothers and as sisters, and you know, will bring us out of an isolation that we sometimes find ourselves in, and how important, you know, that is. And it's supportive, and that every mother or family person can know, you know, there's something in your cupboard or something nearby you that's going to be a helper in a time of need, and until you can get to the proper medical attention. You know, none of this is said to keep you from going to see, you know, the appropriate medical, you know, providers that we have. Sometimes it's the perfect little carryover until you can get there.
Right, right. Well, Marna, we have just about a minute left, and I'm so grateful for you to take your time. I know that this is a busy part of the season for you with doing your harvesting and working in your garden, all that you're doing to try to bring this really valuable and important information. And I honor you for all the time and commitment and study and experimentation and willingness to begin to be one of the elders that brings this very important information forward in a legacy of understanding our connection to the earth. And I want to thank you for that. Again, my guest has been Marna McKinney. She is from Nashville, Tennessee. Her beautiful website is www.marnamckinney.com. I would really suggest that you get in touch with her as you want to learn different things as she brings this body of knowledge together for the betterment of humanity. Thank you so much, Marna. This is Elaine Groman for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. Please do the best that you can, every day that you can, for as long as you can, to make this life the beautiful gift that it is meant to be. This is Elaine Groman. I'll talk to you next week.